Good morning, brothers and sisters. This is Brother Larry coming to you again, hoping that this podcast finds you enjoying your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that your joy is full, and I pray that you're living the blessed life. And that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about drawing near to Jesus Christ in the last few broadcasts. Because in my heart, I want to be near my Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. That's where I desire to be. That's my place of blessing. That's my place of enjoyment. That's my place of protection from the evil one, and protection also from myself and from the world. That's the three front war that we are fighting. Flesh, the devil, and the world system stands opposed in their philosophies and their teachings. It's against the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to do something different. I haven't done this much. I want to read a quote from a few people before I start. We've been talking, like I said, about drawing near to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to be in the center of that circle that I've been talking about. We don't want to be on the edge. And if you're listening today, we don't want you outside of that circle. If you're outside of that circle, you're not in Christ. You're living according to the prince and the power of the air, whether you realize it or not. He is a god of this age. He is a god, small g. He is a god of the world, and he deceives the minds of many. He is subtle, he is powerful, and he is strong. But he is no match for our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, I am talking about how to, and especially this is for believers in Christ, you're inside this circle, how to draw near to him. Now, we have talked about things like you have to be willing as a Christian. You have to be willing. There are many Christians that are not willing to give themselves over totally. They've made Christ as their Savior, but they have not made him as their Lord. Lord, me, he rules over you. Sometimes it's a dangerous place to be if we're living in the flesh, is it not? So he's to be the Lord of our life. And you have to be willing. Number two, we talked about you have to be truthful in order to get near to Christ. You have to be truthful with especially with yourself, since we're dealing with the self and how it relates to being near to Christ. We do not want to be like the Apostle Peter, where it says when the Lord is being brought to trial, he followed Jesus afar off. And sad to say, brothers and sisters, many believers are like this. This is what we don't want to be. We want to be in the center, near Christ, in his will. So I'm speaking of the spiritual armor of God, and the spiritual armor of God is life in Christ. That's all it is. The spiritual armor it talks about in Ephesians 6 are metaphors. Putting on Christ, being near to him. So, like I said, I'd like to read a couple quotes concerning that subject, and I'll tell you where I found that information when I'm through. But let me read something here, and it's concerning James, and I'd like you to have your Bibles with you, please, because these are Bible studies. I said this over and over. I believe the Bible is the very word of God. Make no apologies for it. The Bible is the very word of God. That's where I get my drawing near to Christ. And that's where we're going to concern the emphasis on how to. How to draw near to Christ. Willingness. Truthfulness, recognizing the fact that we need him more and more. That we say to ourselves, you know what? I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be near to the heart of my Savior. He loves you. He cares for you. And here's what James says. Listen in James chapter 4. If you have your Bible with you, by this time you know, if you listen to many of these broadcasts, that I would like for you to open up your Bible, because I want you to see that I'm not trying to deceive you. And if you have an issue with what I say, I want it to be an issue with the Word of God, because that's what counts in our life. James chapter 4 and verse 1, we begin reading. James says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lusts, that war in your members? You lust, and you have not. You kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is at enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusts to envy, but he gives more grace? Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble." Listen what he says there. Verse 7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." This is what I talked about, drawing near, because if you do not, you'll live in the lust of your flesh. And it stands in opposition to a relationship with God. "God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Main verse here. Draw nigh to God. That's what our whole subject's about. "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Why do we not draw near to Christ, brothers and sisters? Because we're living, and I talked about this, double-mindedness, which means two souls. Come from a Greek word, it means two souls. You're living two different lives. In other words, we're living in hypocrisy. And we're living in what James calls it, what it is. He calls it sin. He calls it being friends with the world. So let me read what it says. I found this and I thought they could say it better than I could, according to this passage. Listen carefully. James writes about the roots of our quarrels and conflicts. "While the symptoms include wanting what others have, and even when we ask and don't just take, we generally ask with wrong motives. James seems to connect this with friendship with a world system that focuses a person on himself rather than God. Often we are trying to get in our own ways and for our own purposes, what only God can provide for us. Ultimately, these are symptoms of selfish pride. James warns his readers that when we pursue these courses of action, we walk like enemies of God." And just a few verses later, James urges his readers in verse 8 to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. After explaining the wrong path, James contrasts that path with the right one. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's the sixth verse in James 4. Because of that principle, James exhorts his readers to submit to God and thereby resist the devil. Verse 7. James even adds that submitting to God and resisting the devil will cause the devil to flee. And isn't that the emphasis, if I may interject here while I'm reading this quote? Isn't that the emphasis of our whole broadcast, our whole Bible study we have been doing? We want to make the devil flee from us. And you cannot do that with a prideful attitude. That's why we have to be truthful to ourselves and say, I need Christ because I'm not a perfect person. Pride keeps us from doing that. Oh God, break our pride. It's the original sin of Satan. Pride. And we will spend a few podcasts on that. Let me go back to this quote. By focusing less on a person's own self and on fulfilling the desires of one's flesh, by turning away from friendship with a God-opposing world, system, or culture, and by resisting the devil, the Christian can overcome his three greatest opponents. These are the same three opponents Paul mentions, listen to this, in Ephesians 2, 1 and 3. And I have read that passage many times, that we are dead before we are saved. We are dead in our sins and our trespasses, and we walked according to the prince and the power of the air. Reading the quote again, but avoiding the three negatives is perhaps simpler if one sets his mind to following the positive encouragement offered by James, which he says in verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. If we are moving toward God, he moves closer to us. You hear that? You hear that, listeners? If we are moving toward God, he is moving closer to us. Because he does command us, does he not, in verse 8? He says, subject understood, you draw near to God. Now, he's talking to believers. How'd you like to have James as your pastor? He's just straightforward, and he shoots from the hip, and his shot's going to whom it may concern. Doesn't pull any punches here. He's right direct. So if we're moving toward God, going back to the quote again, he moves closer to us. While his spirit already lives within those who believe in Christ, it is evident that we can walk according to the world, the devil, and the flesh. You can be a believer and do that. I know that from experience. I don't stand above anyone here. I know that from experience. Knowing I was still saved, I'd live like that. That's awful. We cannot do that. Expect to be blessed and enjoy God's blessings for our life. Let me finish the quote. On the other hand, we are being... Excuse me. But if on the other hand, we are being filled, which means being controlled by his spirit, as in Ephesians 5, 17 through 19, then he bears fruit within us. That's Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Paul puts it this way, quote, let the word of God the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And this is one of the areas we're going to be talking about, and it has to do with the sword of the spirit, how to draw near to God. But the writer here says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians 3:16. As we focus less on ourselves and more on him, we can be more submissive to him. And this seems to be the idea behind what it means to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you, James 4, verse 8. As we align our priorities, our desires, thoughts, and behaviors with what He prescribes, we find that we are walking with Christ. Jesus talked about this in John chapter 15, and we have went through a few of those verses before. So when He told His disciples they should abide in Him, it's walking with Christ, abide, abode, living with Him. He's the Lord of our life. John 15:4 is that passage. Quote, "Well, God has provided us many details about how to walk with Him, James puts things succinctly when he encourages readers to draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." James 4:8 again. It is easy to get lost in theological details sometimes, as there are many, and they're all important and useful. That's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It is also good for us to see the simplicity of what God is asking us to do. And it is simple. It's just that willingness I'm talking about. That's all it is, brothers and sisters. Satan makes it more difficult. May I say, we're going to talk about those areas. And when you're going to get to it, Brother Larry, we will get to it. But it's the simplicity of it. He's asking for a simple, quiet fellowship with Him. Recall that Jesus once reminded His hearers that His yoke was easy and His burden was light, Matthew 11:30. God isn't trying to complicate things for us, and He hasn't made walking with Him burdensome. He reminds us that we need to draw near to Him, and He will draw near to us. So, brothers and sisters, Christ is not complicated, as that writer has stated. And that's found, by the way, I told you I'd give you the reference, in gotquestions.org. But if you have questions about scriptures, that's a perfect website to go to. So John MacArthur, following this, in this quote, and we're going to end with this quote by John MacArthur. He said, talks about truth, and that's what we're talking about, truth of the Word of God. John MacArthur says, "Truth is in short supply today. There is a war on truth, initiated and controlled by the prince and the power of the air. It is being attacked in our so-called churches by pastors and Bible teachers alike. They would change the gospel message and make it pliable for our culture and apply their own distorted applications with precision. We as believers in the truth of Jesus Christ should know and love the truth. And it would add one more virtue to our lives, to live out the truth because it is in our hearts. My friends, we are in a truth war, make no mistake about it. And here is a key characteristic of those who are perishing. That is found in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, and in fact, one of the hallmarks of the end times. I would like you to turn to this, led by the wicked one himself, Satan. So if you would, you have your Bibles, turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. Talking about the truth of the Word of God, because that's our message in the next few days as I take a passage from the book of Matthew. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, "And with all deceivableness," that's a mouthful, "with all this deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." Why are they perishing? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. The truth is that Jesus Christ says that we are lost, that mankind is lost, and He came to seek and save the lost. If we were not lost, Jesus would not come to seek and to save the lost. He would not die on the cross if we all could go to heaven. And mankind must receive that truth. That's a hallmark of those who are perishing. So, the genuine love of the truth is built into our faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Solomon said, quote, "Buy the truth and do not sell it." Proverbs 23:23. And Paul said that the church is supposed to be the pillar of the truth. Listen, as Paul writes Timothy, quote, in 1 Timothy 3:15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how you ought to behave yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Thank you for listening today. If this message has been a blessing to you, pass it on to others, and we'll all rejoice in heaven together. God bless.